Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 248, recorded April 27th, 2015.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Hello, hello.
I hope you caught our last episode, 247. It was a little late. We recorded it on time, but I was so sick that I didn't post it until yesterday. Or not yesterday. When was it? Saturday?
Sure, yeah. I don't know.
I think it was Saturday I posted it. Anyway, yeah.
So sorry it was late.
Yep, it was.
Russ was mostly dead all day.
Yeah, all week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, there you go. Hopefully you were able to get that. It was kind of a short episode, but we did eventually get it out there. Maybe check our latest videos. There was one video from Daphne in Missouri that related to that Letta episode. Oh, look, it's the ice cream truck.
Oh, the ice cream truck is driving past our window.
And you can probably hear it. So that's,
sorry.
It's not our intention.
Go get some ice cream and then come back and finish listening. You can eat your ice cream while you listen to us. In fact, let's go get some ice cream and we'll listen to us while we eat ice cream. We can talk and listen to ourselves.
Their mouths full of ice cream?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's genius!
Why not?
Ice cream is always a good idea.
So, yeah, I was saying Daphne had her video with the Opaiul in it, so we posted that to the Aquarimax page. Recently we had an episode, not an episode, a YouTube video on bean beetles come out. Mm-hmm. And so those are some things that have happened lately. And we're also going to post, I think it's posting today actually, is the kind of a blast from the past, episode 152, Diana Wahlstedt's interview.
Oh, you're putting it on YouTube?
To YouTube,
okay.
Yep. And I believe it's scheduled to post today, so that means if you're listening to this, it's already posted.
So if you were wanting to go back and review that one, you can listen to it on YouTube.
Or if you've never heard it yet. And that was
just
a great episode.
Place to have it.
So we thought it would be nice for people who, you know, maybe don't, they just watch Aquarimax YouTube videos, but they don't really listen to the podcast or didn't at the time. Now they can hear that one. So that'd be fun. And what we'll probably do is make a playlist of interview episodes on YouTube so that people can access interviews that we've done in the past with various Aquarimaxers and other things like that. So there you go. All right. So this week, who's with us?
Just Matt.
Okay. And then we have a couple of other bits of
news. Well, he's very good company.
Yes, it's we're not complaining at all. We're glad to have Matt from Perth, Western Australia joining us tonight.
Yes, oh sorry. See, it gets to the point where like it's just Matt. It's Matt. I don't have to say where he's from. Everybody knows Matt. It's like Mick.
But the new
But I should
new
because not
might
yes.
Not know.
So Matt is in Perth, Western Australia. Mm-hmm. And he's been
Well, look at all those dingy sounds. We've got all sorts of things going on.
Okay. It's our musical accompaniment today. He's been keeping us apprised on his situation with the discus that were sick, and he had a fish veterinarian come in and prescribe some medicine for them. And I believe he's also been keeping us updated on how he's setting up his marine tank.
Right. And so now he's got updates for both of those projects.
Yes.
For us.
So he says, the discus are healing after their four treatments of anti-fluke medication. I can still see the cuts in the gills barely, but it is no longer red or inflamed. I have now added 8 cardinal tetras to the tank. Nice to have some different colors in there. Still need to figure out discus nutrition. I have not had time to investigate it just yet.
Okay. But it's good news.
Yeah, I'm glad it's working.
So if they're healing, I guess there have been no new deaths. And he's saying that the inflammation's gone down, so that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to know it.
Yep. And then he talks about the marine tank. So the marine tank has finally cycled. I had a nitrite and nitrate spike. Now the tanks read 0 on all 3. So I've added my 2 Ocellaris clownfish, Nemo and Marlin. Those are good names.
Yep.
I just have to say, I think Nemo is one of my favorite Pixar movies.
Yeah.
It's really good. I think Dory is very wise. When she says, you can't let nothing ever happen to him, then nothing would ever happen to him. People need to remember that.
Right.
Okay, sorry. That's my... I have to have a tangent, guys. Or it's not an episode, right? Okay, but I'm done now. I have also added a long tentacle plate coral that looks a lot like an anemone. My plate coral and my clownfish are both eating. I like watching the coral feed itself with bits of brine shrimp that get stuck to it when I feed the fish. I could watch the plate coral swaying in the current for hours. It is hypnotic. It's true. I have attached a picture of the plate coral with Nemo and Marlin out of focus in the background.
It does really look like an anemone. It does. It's uncanny how much it does.
I wonder if they're trying to...
host on it?
Host on it, yeah.
I'm sure they will. Well, I'm not sure they will, but it seems likely to me that they will.
That would be kind of neat.
Yeah.
It wouldn't try to eat them like the brine shrimp, would it? Are they too big?
I doubt it. Hopefully not. I don't think so. I don't think they would. I'm not particularly well-versed in the habits of the plate coral, but I bet that... Matt has already looked into that.
That's true. I'm sure he has.
Yep. And there are several species of corals that I have read about that can be used as suitable hosts for clownfish.
For clownfish?
Yeah.
So maybe that's one of them. Probably. Mm-hmm.
Huh? Probably so.
Okay. My next marine investment is going to be a coral-grade LED lighting fixture and a small protein skimmer. I am planning to buy a Hydor USA Slim Skin Internal Skimmer... and a current USA Orbit Marine Aquarium LED light, 24 to 36 inch. Both of which are on Amazon.com if you want to look them up. And Russ, both of them have very positive reviews, so they pass that test this time. Oh yeah, and they ship to Australia. Ha ha. Can't forget that important detail.
No, that is important.
So what do you two think of my... or what do you think of my two new planned marine purchases?
Cool. Well, seems like a skimmer... I've worked with the Hydor brand before, not with the skimmer specifically, but I think the materials that I've used from them have all been, you know, quality materials. So I've had heaters and, let's see, powerhead components and things like that from Hydor, and I've liked all the stuff that they've produced. So seems like a good company anyway, and seems like a skimmer is a really good idea, especially if you're going to be getting some more corals and things like that. And with the light that you're getting, it sounds like you will be getting some more corals. I'm curious to see what other types of corals you will be getting. It'll be interesting. Because with all that light, you're going to want to have photosynthetic organisms in there so that they can be using the nutrients and, you know, keeping algae at bay. So I'm sure that was your idea, otherwise you wouldn't need a light that bright if you're not going to get some photosynthetic organisms. So I wonder what types you're looking at. This tentacle plate coral, like I said, I'm not familiar with the particular type. Is it photosynthetic? Many, many corals are in general, just speaking to those of you who haven't done marine tanks at all, I've had some experience with it, and I've only had a few different types of corals. I've never had this particular type. I've had corallomorphs, or mushroom corals, as they're often called, and I've had zoanthids, and we had, let's see, Kenyan tree coral, and star polyps. Do you remember what else we had?
I don't.
Those are the only ones I can remember. And they all reproduced for us. But we did have to have a light that was bright enough. And those, none of those are what you would call really high intensity light corals. They do fine at lower light levels. We had, let's see, what was it? Compact power fluorescent bulb. It was a current fixture, I believe. So same brand that Matt is having here, but it was not an LED light. It was just a compact power fluorescent. It was somewhere around, I don't remember now, something like 50, 60 watts or something like that. What, do you remember?
Mm-mm.
It's been too long. Anyway.
It was several years ago.
Yeah, and it worked well for quite a while until we had that accident with the goldfish
when you were dumped in there. Out of town.
When I was out of town. It was a lot of fun to watch the corals grow and reproduce. And so it sounds like a good idea. And
we had a Nemo, too.
We did. We had an...
kids named him Nemo, too.
Was ours an Ocellaris or a Percula clown? I don't remember now.
I really don't remember.
Me neither. We did, and it was fun. Didn't have any corals that were big enough for our clownfish to host on, though.
That's true.
They just toasted it like, what was
in
it?
In a spot.
They had a spot where the live rock was kind of made a little dip, like a little depression, and that's where they hung out. But anyway, seems like a good direction to go, and hopefully we will hear some more good things about that.
So we're glad that's all working. We have a couple of little, bits of news.
Okay. Yeah.
You ordered something from Texas.
I did. Well, you know, in the last episode, we talked about Daphne from Missouri and how she ordered some opayula from the guy in Texas who captive breeds them and is selling them that way. And I decided to do the same because, like I said, I'd been setting up my opayula tanks, and I've got 4 opayula tanks right now. 2 of them long-standing tanks that I've had for years and years. And then these 2 new ones that I've been setting up. The thing is, in the long-standing established tanks, they're both cylindrical and they're both fairly small, and they both have opayula 24/7 zipping around. You can see them if you look in there. But I didn't have... I'm not sure how many opayula I have altogether, but I'd say probably fewer than 200 in both of my tanks. Somewhere between 150 and 180, maybe, in those 2 tanks. So when I wanted to set up the 10-gallon and the 5.5-gallon opayula tanks in addition, I started, after I had given them time to cycle, I decided to put some opayula in. But the thing is, I didn't have enough in there to really make it very visible. So now if you look in the 5.5-gallon, even though there are something like 20, 30 opayula in there, it, like I mentioned, I think, before, it looks pretty bare. You can see a few in there if you look carefully. You'll see maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 at a time most of the time. Once in a while, you'll see more of them out, but it's pretty empty looking, and it's not that exciting. The 10-gallon, you really don't see opayula at all. And they've been set up for like 3 months, and they've got algae growth going on them and everything, and they're fine, but you don't really see a lot. So I figured I just need to bolster the numbers of these opayula, and then by doing that, I'll also, if I buy some from another source, I'll be adding new bloodlines. So that's what I'm doing. They are ordered. I ordered 50 plus, what it says in the description, and there were some extras included. That was indicated with the order, some extras included. So I'll probably get, you know, I don't know exactly, but over 50, I'm sure to get that. So I'm looking forward to trying that out and spreading them among those tanks and seeing how much more activity we get going. And then, of course, they should breed fairly soon. And in company with the ones that I already have, that should make for a lot of opayula. And the nice thing about a 10-gallon tank or a 5.5-gallon tank is you can get hundreds of opayula in there before it's overcrowded. You could probably get 1,000 in a 10-gallon tank before you have to worry about thinning them out.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. So that'll be nice. Because I think about 150 to 200 are about what I need in my other tanks to make it look nice and full.
Mm-hmm.
But
how many did you order?
50 plus.
50, okay.
Yeah, so it'll be exciting to see how that goes. And once I get them going, I will post a video or something.
Sounds good. We have one little tidbit more. There's more of a teaser.
But it is something fun that's going to happen. A long time ago, when we lived in Hawaii, our friend Dave Bybee allowed us to tour several facilities that he worked with, because he was a marine biologist. And he, well, let's see, how many facilities did we go to? That
2.
Was it just 2?
Just 2. There was
we went to Coconut Island,
and we went to the aquaponics.
When we were college?
Yeah.
I can't remember if we did another one or not.
I don't think so.
But at least we did 2. Got to tour 2 facilities. One of them was Coconut Island. It's a marine research facility. And the other one was an aquaponics and aquaculture facility that was mostly freshwater focused. So we got to see 1 marine and 1 freshwater. Mm-hmm. And I really don't remember if we saw any others or not. But anyway,
I have to say, Coconut Island, the marine one, I think we've probably talked about this before. That was the day that Gwen was born. And we think
our youngest.
Yeah, our youngest, who... I mean, they all like critters, but she's the one that's most like Russ. And she had the beta coral and everything. So we kind of joke that she was born that night because she's like, wait, I want to see the fish too!
And it was a lot of fun to see all these things. And one of the freshwater facility, we got to see some aquaponics in action, where they had these styrofoam rafts, basically, or polystyrene rafts, I guess I should say. And they were growing things like lettuces in the little rafts, in the holes in the rafts. And they were culturing goldfish and swordtails and different things in these pools. And then the lettuces and so on were growing up out of the rafts. And that's one form of aquaponics. And that was years ago, probably like 2000, what would it have been? 2004, 2005?
The freshwater was after Gwen was born, so it was 2006.
2006, yeah. Okay. We are going to get a chance to tour a local aquaponics facility, but I think this one is going to be the one that uses some other methods, some of the preferable methods in the sense that are more flexible in the terms of and in variety of plants that you can grow, and more along the lines of an aquaponics facility that we would like to set up. So we're going to look into that. Kelly's got a friend who's she kind of set it up.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's somebody that she knows, and she's like, "Oh, you guys could come see this."
And so we're working on that, and that should be later on next month.
Mm-hmm. But she agreed to do an interview with us while we're out there. She was excited about that, so we'll kind of, you know, be asking her questions and record her interview while we're getting this tour, and we'll take some video and
maybe combine them. And I don't know if we're going to if we'll put parts of the interview in the podcast, or we'll just post interview / video on YouTube, or what we're going to do. But to some extent, Aquarimax is going to do a tour of this aquaponics facility, and we're going to report on it in some form.
So it'll be fun.
So watch this space for aquaponics.
But in the meantime,
may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.